The processional gospel, Mark, the 11th chapter, beginning with the first verse. When they had approached Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples ahead of him to the village. He said to them, "You will find tied there outside a colt. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just tell them that the Lord has need of it and will return it to you immediately." The disciples went to the village in front of them. They found a colt tied by a door outside. As they were untying it, some bystanders said, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, so they allowed them to take it. They took the colt to Jesus, and they placed their cloaks on it. Jesus sat on the colt. Then those who were before him and those who were after began to shout, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David." When he reached Jerusalem, he went into the temple, and after having looked around, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. An interesting day that we have before us this Palm Sunday, a day when we wave branches and shout Hosanna, remembering what happened on that first Palm Sunday. The flip side is this is also a day where we are going to do a gathering of pledges for a project that we've been talking about here for a few months. As I read and reread and think about the gospel text that's before us today, I am struck by the contrast. So on one hand, in the midst of this text, I hear all sorts of commotion and noise as the people are gathered together. Jesus on this donkey, green leafy branches being laid down as the donkey is brought into Jerusalem, people taking off their coats. It is as if it is a royal processional, and I can hear the crowd shouting, the jostling, the scraping on that rough path as the donkey passes. Lots of noise. But contrast that to the last verse in the Gospel of Mark, the 11th verse in the 11th chapter. Jesus walking into the temple. And in my mind's eye, there is silence. Jesus looking around at his Father's house, knowing that this whole temple structure is going to be turned upside down in the coming week by what happens to Jesus. Loud shouts of acclamation and Hosanna, and on the other hand, silence, noise, and wonderment. So here we stand on this Palm Sunday all of those years later and contrast these Palm Sunday texts to the text that comes from Esther, which is a text written generations and generations and generations before Jesus was ever born, a text where Esther is the queen of the entire Persian realm. They were the powerhouse of the day. But she was a woman, a faithful Jewish woman. And word comes to her about a plot. It comes through her cousin Mordecai. He tells her there is a plot that is being whipped up by the king's closest advisor to have all of the Jews in the entire Persian land wiped out. Maybe it's for just such a time as this, Queen Esther, that you've come to power, Mordecai says to her. But it is a different day, and even though she is queen, she sends word back. I haven't been called to the king for 30 days. And if I do go to the king without being called, I'm liable to get killed. She is between a rock and a hard place. What is she going to do? I mean, on one hand, she could be God's instrument to save the entire Jewish population, which is in the Persian Empire at that time. If she does nothing, she might end up dead. If she does something, she could also end up dead. She tells Mordecai to call the people into a time of prayer and fasting, that somehow God would open a path that she could go to the king, that she could speak on behalf of the people. She was standing on a precipice that she had no idea what the outcome was going to be. In the midst of the Palm Sunday text, I wonder if those who were gathered with palms and loud shouts had any idea what they were on the edge of. My guess is no. Did they have any idea that within the week, Jesus would be dead? And an incredible future of salvation would be unleashed on the entire world. You may have caught that the text, part of the text that was in Esther, is the gathering text that we've been using in the midst of talking about this campaign for such a time as this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have no idea this moment as we step into this moment in time what God has in store for us. We don't. We know that in the past God has been faithful through generations and generations and generations, all the way back to Jesus, all the way through the history of Trinity Lutheran as well. God has been faithful. We stand in the midst of a time when we are called to try to wonder where and how God is calling us. What's our future? What does God want of us? Lots of questions and possibilities are beginning to boil up in wonderments and questions right now. Might it be possible that God is calling us to walk closer with people who are dealing with issues of mental illness? Maybe. Are we being called to consider entering into ministries with those who have addiction issues? Out of the blue, an email comes asking if we want to talk about recovery worship. Is that God's doing? I don't know. Are we being called as a congregation to open a clothes closet, maybe for those who are trying to break into the job market, but they need clothing to do it? It's a wonderment that someone has raised here. We have no idea when we stand here on the lip of time where God is calling us into, except that God is beckoning and inviting. That's what God does. But regardless of where the future is, the truth is we need an excellent launching pad to be able to work from. A place where the heat works, where the air conditioning is on, where there are lights that can turn on, where we actually have thermostatic control, where we can adjust the heat in the sanctuary, which we can't do right now. At least we can't with the cooling. To be able to engage ministry beyond ourselves, we need a launching pad. It is the basis that we work from. This building isn't to be worshipped. It is a tool for ministry, and it's an excellent tool. But any good craftsman or seamstress or crafter knows you need to take care of your tools. And this is the day that we are being called to take care of our tools. Do we have any idea what's in front of us? No more than Esther did the day that she was challenged by Mordecai. No more than those who shouted Hosanna that day did. But God's out in front of us. I'm positive of that. Let us enter into that which we are called to. Amen.